If our life and our everything is Jesus, then we also want to hear the words that the Lord spoke when he was on earth. He says in Matthew 10 from verse 17, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, which he spoke when he walked on this earth. I can only say, brothers and sisters, the words, they come true so wonderfully. What the Lord has spoken, we see that it cannot be any other way. It must all come to pass, for the Lord has spoken it. The mouth of the living God has spoken it. And we ask ourselves today, are the words true or are they not true? And I don't think anyone can say they are not true, but all of us can only say, Lord, you have spoken words of eternal life. They are true. They are being fulfilled in our day. They are fulfilled among the nations, among the peoples. They are fulfilled in our homes, in our families. They are fulfilled everywhere we look. That's the point. Yes, God's word is God's word. But the Lord Jesus, he says to us that we should persevere. We are to persevere. And I think these words were not only said for the disciples, but they are also valid for us in our day. For it is the same Lord who redeemed those, and the same Lord who redeemed us. He shed his blood for them, he shed his blood for us, for you and for me. He paid the price on Calvary. And we see these words were not only fulfilled in those days, they are being fulfilled in the same way in our day. And we are so glad and so thankful that we may cling to the Lord, that again we have come tonight to offer him worship and honor and praise. He who receives you, he says, receives me. That was a wonderful thing. Why? Well, we know the disciples, they did not go out in their own strength, in their own direction, not on their own behalf, but on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, whoever receives you receives me. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, and I think God has also meant well with us in our days. He has given us grace that we could come to him and that we cling to him, and also the word that we could recognize it and that we can see what time it is on the world clock. May the Lord continue to bless us tonight, is my prayer. May he bless his word. May he bless us all. Yes, we come together here, but not just to be blessed, but that we may be firmly anchored in him and abide in him. And also that we stand with each other because we know it's a serious time, an evil time. But we must not throw away our trust, but we must put our trust in Him and heed His words, and that we don't need to worry either. However it may come, cast all your cares on me, He says. Yes, and that is a fact. We may cast all upon Him. It is He who cares for us. May He continue to lead and guide us, even now, by the power of His good Holy Spirit. May He also help us in prayer, that we may rightly offer Him the honor and the praise and the thanksgiving as is due. Let us stand up now and do it. We thank You with all our hearts, also for this hour of grace. We thank You for the words which Thou hast spoken when You walked this earth with Your disciples, Lord. We know that You still dwell among Your people, among those who trust in You. Lord, and we put our trust in You tonight. And You have said, "Fear not, You are worth more than many sparrows." Hallelujah. Lord, You are mindful of Your people. You take care of us, and therefore we praise Your wonderful name, for there is nothing veiled that will be revealed. All things are open before You. We too are open before You. You know our hearts. You know how we mean it, Lord. You know that we love You. You know that we desire to be like Thee. You know that we desire to serve You, Lord, with sincere hearts. Give us all grace and strength in this last time, in these last moments, O Lord, while we are still here on this earth. Lord, we don't know how much longer we have to walk here, nor do we know what is yet to come upon us, Lord. But Lord, we look up to You, Lord. If it should yet come, Lord, what we don't even imagine, Lord, will You stand by us? May You be the word in our mouth and in our hearts, O Lord. We worship You in this evening hour. May You continue to speak to us. May You bless our brother. May You lay Your word into his heart, Lord. May Your Holy Spirit come so powerfully upon him, Lord, and over all of us, Lord. We ask You for this, O Lord. And from the bottom of our hearts, we worship You as our Lord, as our Savior. For this You are, hallelujah, praise and glory to Your wonderful name of Jesus. Have mercy on us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the main reason to have fellowship with God and to seek His face together. Many hear the word of God, but few have fellowship with God. Few feel and experience the impact of what God's word is sent to do. We have heard it already from this word that has been read to us. The things that the Lord has said must all come to pass. And it is sometimes very, very distressing. And it cuts through, it divides asunder. But every word must be fulfilled. I myself have drawn new faith and new hope to my God, in the knowledge that all things are in His hands, and that we must go forward in faith. There is no other way for us. Whoever wants to go forward must do it in faith. He who cannot go forward in faith goes backward in unbelief. There is no choice at all. There is no choice. We either do one or the other. And if we have to make the choice now, then let us make it rightly. Who wants to go backwards in unbelief? No one. We can only go forward in faith. And if God helps us, we will pick ourselves up if this is a right word, and take the promises of God to heart, and also believe them from the heart, and count on God fulfilling them. And God will fulfill them. The moment we can believe them from the heart and act on them, He will fulfill them. Because it's like this, that everything else, I don't want to use that word, fulfills itself. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, injustices, everything is fulfilled without our doing anything. But the promise that God gave to you and to me, that He gave to the church, are not fulfilled without our doing. They are tied to our faith and bound to it. And therefore it is written, to them who believe, these signs and wonders shall follow. Here in Matthew 10, so that we have the right context, is the calling of the 12 disciples. Here the Lord called His first 12 disciples. He sent them out. He gave them commissions and instructions. And then He announced what they would encounter, what they could expect, and that they could rely on Him, that He will be with them. He immediately let them know that they would not fare any differently than He Himself had fared. And one thing He says here, in verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's a thing we all need to consider. Sometimes we go into things so unsuspectingly, really like sheep, and we don't know that like sheep we can get into something. But the Lord is the Good Shepherd, and whatever happens to us worries Him more than you and me. This you can believe me tonight. The Lord is more concerned about His sheep than we can be about each other or even about ourselves, because He wants us to be well and to serve Him and accomplish what He has sent His word to do. With regard to the festive season, it is really very important to me that we, the brothers and sisters who will come, that we can offer them a real home, that we can give them what they are looking for, fellowship with us and with the Lord, that they feel comfortable, and that we actually leave behind once and for all everything that does not serve to build them up, and refrain from it. It will not help anyone. Up to now, it has only harmed everyone and helped no one. You know, sometimes, and I have heard this word a few times, it has been said, if a thing is true, then you can talk about it. You can talk about it. I will give you one example. There are three things that are true, and after they were said, came the dismissal without notice in an earthly company. It was last Monday, so just a week ago, and that was with my youngest son. He only said three things from his company to another, and the three things were exactly right. And that was on a Thursday evening. And when he went into the company on Monday morning, the boss only had one sentence: Mr. Frank, you are fired without notice. And you can imagine, as tall as he is, so small he becomes and looks. The rest, the authorized signatory will tell you. Finished. And the three things have been listed. And he says, yes, that's right. That's what I said. And he has been made aware that things that happen internally within a company must not be taken outside. That is damage to the enterprise. He only had to take his things and was allowed to go home. That is earthly order. Earthly people know what is proper. How about us? How about us? If someone starts in the civil service today, no matter where, what is the norm? What is it about? About confidence, that nothing will be carried out. When I think about what happened here, there is no equal, not in the jungles of Africa. And we have to understand that we owe more to God and are more responsible to the kingdom of God than to any earthly business. But I just believe that God is helping and that He will do more in the future as He has done in the past. That He will confirm His word in unusual ways. And I tell you, Brother Branham has spoken of persecution, of the World Council of Churches, of all these things he has spoken. He was expecting it. But just as well I tell you, in his time, none of these things happened. Neither the great things in the bride, nor the persecution, nor what he expected. But I tell you just as well, we publish the sermons of Brother Branham with all the attacks against the Pope and the devil, against ecumenism, against the World Council of Churches. Who will be in for it one day? Brother Branham is no longer here. America is far away. Where will this thing run its course? We must be prepared. And when my dear brother read here, don't worry then what you will speak. It will be given to you. You all know, I'm probably one of the few who never has a manuscript, who never has any notes. I come to the front, and when I have preached 3,000 sermons, I have preached them all without anything but just trusting God, and in no other way. But when we are told here that God will stand by us, and he said, it is not you at all who are speaking. You are not there in your own cause. You don't need to speak at all. I will speak through you. It is my business that is at issue here. Don't you worry. I take care. I know what is to be said in every situation. Rely on me completely. So we are going towards two futures, one glorious and one very sad. Both. That which God will do will certainly exceed our imagination. But that the enemy will then become even more evil, we can all expect. If God had nothing planned for us, we would all have been left alone. But it is precisely because God has something in mind, and I believe I may say this here quite freely, that the Lord has spoken in manifold ways, and that we have, for the most part, seen things fulfilled. God has spoken and God has worked throughout the world, and we will not attribute that to ourselves either, but give the Lord the glory, that the testimony and the end-time message that has been given to us has nevertheless been preserved in its purity. I have something to say somehow, but certainly not tonight. But I would like to know whether we have understood things correctly. If not, we are open to any correction. But we are only open to a correction that is in accordance with the Word of God. It must come from the Word of God. Arguments of a human kind do not help us. But God is ready to help us in a wonderful way. There were so many thoughts here. I had not prepared myself, nor read, to bring any particular word tonight. But every word that is read is a word of God. And as has been pointed out, it is fulfilled in every way. On the one hand, the Lord has come, and it was already said when He was announced, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. On the other hand, I have not come to bring peace. We see one thing and we see another. To one applies this, to the other that. No one can change it. God has arranged all things this way. And we still have translated today, where Brother Branham said, if I am predestined by God to be in glory, I will be there. If not, then another 1,000 years can go by and nothing changes. I still won't be there. A total predestination according to the counsel of God, based on the foreknowledge and foreseeing of the Almighty. Also the course of human history and what is going on. Who can change that earthquakes happen, that there are famines, that millions are homeless? We don't know that here, but I have seen enough misery. Everything is fulfilled as the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. If it is then to be fulfilled in detail in me and in you, then we have only one thing to do. Always ask ourselves the question, on which side do we stand? On which side do we stand? Whether it is done with us or whether we do it. One may always ask oneself the question, and then of course examine ourselves before God and see which word applies to us. And I'm convinced that there is no one who could put his chin up and boast. After all, it's all grace. What is not grace that we would have received from God? Everything is grace. Now, when it is written here, even our hairs are numbered. Forgive me this remark. It is not customary for me. But someone said to me recently, listen, a blonde person has something like 85,000 hairs and a black person has 115,000. I said, really? The numbers may be correct or not. People have counted them. God knows. He counted. He knows exactly. And one thing is certain, when we are changed and receive the resurrection body, not one hair will be missing. I will have as many hairs then as I had the day I was born. You know what I mean. Before one fell out, that's how much I will have then. Not a single hair will be missing. God is a perfect God, and from Him who is perfect, only perfection comes forth. From patchwork comes patchwork. From perfection, only perfection can come forth. And we will one day have a perfect body. Nothing will be lacking. Nothing will hurt. Everything will be in order for all eternity. Perfectly fashioned like our Lord. And that is our confidence, because we place our hope entirely in the living God and in the grace, in the work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. And I believe that the Lord will reveal His victory. We have not only sung it, we will experience it. His is the victory over hell and death. It stays that way. It cannot be otherwise. Here was another thought that stood out to me in verse 40 probably. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Our Savior, in his earthly body, could say, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Go. He who hears you hears me. He who receives you receives me. He who rejects you rejects me. He who does not hear you does not hear me. These are serious words. Serious words. When the Lord calls someone and commissions and sends, then it is not a matter between man and the people in the plural, but a matter between man and God, who uses only an earthly mouthpiece, a mouth. If he could speak through the microphone without a mouth, he would have done so. But he uses a mouth to speak through. And we are convinced that Brother Branham was sent by God to bring a direct message from God. And I'm not afraid to say that it has been the final revelation of the will and the word of God, to which no man can add, nor any man can take away. And we do all well if we leave our knowledge behind and really submit to what God has spoken from the heart, and let the Spirit of God speak to us who has spoken. We don't even want to go into the other things. We have the faith. And here again, we can distinguish between two things. On the one hand, you and your house will be saved. And on the other hand, I have come to divide. But shall I tell you, here again, things refer to the end. To the end. And the moment you come into a prophetic age, all things look very different from what they were before. And we can take the whole Old Testament, and it has been true since Moses. What concerns the worship, everything, the sacrifices, all that was valid. And suddenly a prophetic age comes, and a John appears. He has nothing to do with the temple or sacrifices or anything. He brings a divine message that is timely according to prophecy, and then everything changes. One is replaced by the other. One passes from the one into the other. One goes along with the work of God, and thus becomes one with God and His Word. There are enough churches in this time that were very biblical. There's nothing to shake about it. There are enough churches that were biblical. But after God revealed His Word and made known the prophetic counsel, they remained what they were. And you cannot say that the sacrifices were unscriptural. You could not say that the service did not have its justification in the temple. But this could also be said, that the people who lived at that time did not recognize the time of their divine visitation. As right as everything was, but they did not recognize what was right, namely what God did in that time. So it has always been, so it is also in this time. And especially now, the last sermons, you see how everything has been spoken so clearly, and it is fulfilled before our eyes in every way. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. Here it says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. But then, verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The Lord sees all things. He sees the least thing, that we do good to one another. And if someone is thirsty, and you really give him a glass of cold water out of love for the Lord, that is to be rewarded. Not the big things, the little things the Lord already sees and will reward on that day. May our God bless us all and help us. And as I said before, let us go into the days ahead of us in faith, in the confidence that God and God's word do not change, that he stands by his word and must fulfill and confirm it, and that we can simply believe without effort. But as Brother Branham said, faith can only be active through love. It must somehow be a bed in which things can be laid. And if the Lord helps us here, that we can manage, I wish it for myself, I wish it for you, I wish it for all of us, that we find grace before God, that we come along, each for himself, with one another and with God, that such trust in God and in each other could be a trust, an atmosphere in which God could be effective in a powerful way. You know very well, and we all don't fool ourselves about that, and I certainly don't. Trust has been destroyed, but God can build. And just one more word came to me somehow, sometime. Even though I don't want to use the word, but poison was disseminated. But I will tell you this. I believe what is written in Mark 16. And if they drink something deadly, it will not harm them. It cannot be otherwise. It cannot be otherwise. If we believe, it will not harm us. If we don't believe, everything will harm us. But the Lord says, you will tread upon serpents and scorpions. Nothing will harm you. I give you power. And if there is faith, nothing will harm us. If there is no faith, all things will harm us. And we shall be ashamed of ourselves and of others. Brothers and sisters, God has brought us together, I believe that, in order to carry out this commission. All these things were necessary. God has provided means and people, has helped us in such an incomparable way that we cannot help but thank him and give him the glory. You are witnesses to this. Not once had we begged. Not once did we somehow present the needs. God has provided for everything. He has opened doors, made paths, opened hearts, so that his word could be carried into the world. For this we are grateful. He has given us brothers in this place who have served faithfully. And I want to make it very clear here. Our brothers who serve here with the word still have my unreserved trust. And I ask this of all of you. If we want to be blessed, leave everything behind. Put your trust in God and in those whom he wants to use. There is no other way. We cannot be in opposition and think that God will bless us and lead us on. It is deception. It doesn't work. There has to be oneness in spirit with God and with each other. Otherwise, things are simply not possible. I hope that my circular letter, which will now be ready at the weekend, will help some. And I want to say it very clearly here, already in advance. When I write something, then only to help, then only to clarify, if possible, in no way to judge anyone, or even to expose anyone, or whatever. One thing is certain, we are all in the same boat. And if we are completely sincere, we must admit tonight, and everyone else with us, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, if one member suffers, then all suffer, then the whole body suffers, then you can do whatever you want, and there is nothing unless the member and all the other members are restored and the suffering is over, otherwise it makes no sense. But God is able to make good more than the enemy has spoiled. I still trust my God to do more, and I will until my last day. One can say the enemy is powerful, but God is almighty. God is all-powerful, and we can take it by faith that He will put a stop to the enemy. And the moment that happens, we will be able to go forward in faith. And when we are put into battle, it is not against each other, but against the enemy. And just be honest, what kind of a Wehrmacht is it when one explosion after another goes off in your own camp and everything collapses over your head? Against whom are you supposed to fight then? Against the enemy? He laughs and takes everything and says, you were stupid enough to destroy yourselves. We only need to come and take it all, one by one. I tell you one thing, the earthly people, and this is what my Savior said here, the children of this world are wiser than the sons of the kingdom of God, much wiser. They don't have their heads on their necks in vain. They are at least right up here. They know what is proper. Unless we put things in order as they must be, otherwise we will blow it all and we can pack up and stay where we are and will accomplish nothing. May God bless my brothers who serve here with a word. And I will just say this too tonight in closing. And if you want, you may even find something to criticize. But I ask you tonight, if other brothers had served 20 years in this place, as our brethren have served here, small wood would have been, everything would have been broken. Let us accept that God has blessed our brothers and used them and made them a blessing. I tell you, it could happen that we only realize what we had when they were no longer here. May God bless them as pillars of the church, and let us support them with all that is within us and stand behind them. When that happens, worry no more. Together we can leap over the enemy's walls and we can destroy Satan's stronghold in the name of the Lord. But the route of march we must know and go forward united with the Lord and with each other. Remember me also in your prayers, and together let us trust our God with all our heart, and He will bless us from the riches of His grace. Amen.